We've been talking about this series for a while now, and we're going to actually end it tonight. So what I've asked Jordan to do is just do two songs, kind of get us warmed up. And I want to just briefly kind of cover what we've talked about. And at the end of service, I really want you to have some time where you can reflect on your life, what God is doing, how you need to respond. So instead of like dismissing to small groups or just going right into like one last song, we're actually going to come back and have two songs of worship at the end, because I want it to be a chance for you to really think about, what has this series really taught me, and how can I now live my life in light of this new knowledge that, man, everything apart from God, it's all empty, but connected to God, man, it's worth everything. So that's what we're going to be getting ready to and preparing our hearts to really respond here in a few moments. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and go to Ecclesiastes. And what I want to ask you, don't answer this out loud because it might be embarrassing, but here's kind of the question I want to ask you to answer in your mind. What are you afraid of? Just think about that. And also, be guys like, nothing. Seriously, like, you're afraid of something, right? So what I want you to do for a moment is to think in your mind, what are you afraid of? Or I might even put it differently. What is your biggest fear? Like, what is the one thing, maybe for some of you, it's death. That's kind of a scary thing, right? I mean, death, that can be very scary. Maybe for some of you, it's just not having a girlfriend. That scares me to death. So I've always got a girlfriend. Or it's just being lonely. So I've always got friends. Or for you, your biggest fear is not getting an A. You've got a 4.0. Some of y'all smiled. You're like, oh, that's me. Don't talk about that. No, 4.0. Always. What? Your biggest fear is like you're going to forget that assignment. And it's going to mess everything up. And you're not going to get valedictorian. Your whole life's going to spiral. And you're just going to hit rock bottom and die. That's your world if you miss an assignment and you don't get a 4.0. So your biggest fear is really just failure, not to get an A in every single class. So think about, what is your fear? Maybe it's not having money when you get older. So for you, it's like, okay, being poor is my fear. So I got to make sure I make enough money so that I'm not poor, because I believe if I don't have money, I won't be happy. If I don't have money, I won't have a life. So your whole life is going to be built around working really, really hard to make sure you never get put in that place where you're scared because you don't have anything. So I want you to think, okay, what is my biggest fear? What am I afraid of? Has everybody got it? Everybody got it in your mind? Nod with me. So you've got it. You've got that fear. Now fear is something that I do with on like a nightly basis, because I have three children, and one of them is two, who will be three Saturday. Big day. We're having a Jeep party, Jeep cake. It's going to be awesome. The cake looks like mud that's like rock crawling. It's awesome. So if you want to come, you're not invited, but it'll be cool. You can look at pictures on like Instagram or something. So it's going to be this really cool party for a little family. He's going to be three. And Kreider in December will be five. So every single night we deal with the issue of, Daddy, I'm scared. Now, what are my kids scared of at night? The dark. How many of you are scared at night? How many of you guys were scared of the dark at one point in your life? Anybody? Right, it's like, man, that was like everything. That's why they make night lights, because night lights make it where you don't have to be in the dark, right? So every night we have this issue with put the boys in bed, everything's okay, and then all of a sudden, Daddy, I'm scared, come in here. No, go to bed. And then they get out and walk into the living room. Daddy, I'm scared. No, you're not. Go to bed. Put them back in there. And it's like 30 minutes of you're scared. No, you're not. You're scared. No, you're not. And it's kind of silly. It's irrational. There's nothing to be scared of in their room in the dark. But they imagine all kinds of things. Dad, I saw a monster. No, you didn't, Kreider. Yes, I did. Daddy, I heard him talking. No, you didn't, okay? I know it's an irrational fear, but nevertheless, it is a fear. And for some of you, your biggest fear is irrational. It doesn't even make sense. But for some of you, you have real, genuine fears. And what I want you to see before we begin is this. That your fear often reveals who your God is. Here's what I mean by that. The thing that you fear the most is often connected to the thing you really hold as your God. Here's how this works. Let's say your biggest fear is not getting an A. Your biggest fear is failure. Your biggest fear is not getting that job, not getting into that school. That's your biggest fear. Your biggest fear is failure. So what is your God? Success. Man, if I'm just successful, then I'll be happy and everything will be great. See, for some of you, your biggest fear is I could be lonely. I could not be in a relationship. So your God then is relationships. You've always got them. You're always pursuing them. You're pouring everything you can because you believe if I have a relationship, then everything's good. My God is awesome. I'm worshiping that and everything's fine. So what we see is often our fear reveals who our real God is. And what we're going to learn tonight is there is one fear that you should have that is a godly fear. And that is a fear of the Lord. We're going to talk about what that means. Because it might not be what you originally hear. Okay, we're supposed to be afraid of God. No. You're supposed to be fearful of God, as the scriptures say. And if you have a right fear for God, then your action, your lifestyle is going to reveal that God is really your God. Therefore, you live for Him. So here's what we're going to see in the scriptures. Go with me to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, if you hit the Psalms, keep going. You got Proverbs, then you got Ecclesiastes. We're going to go all the way to the very end of the book, chapter 12. We are through the book of Ecclesiastes. We didn't hit every verse, but we covered a lot of the material that Solomon has been telling us about in Ecclesiastes. And now we're going to finish it out. We're going to recap. And we're going to try to figure out what in the world are we really supposed to do in this life. And we're going to see that a lot of it has to do with the right fear that we have. So if you'd stand out of reverence for the Word of God. We're going to begin reading in verse 9. And we're going to read through the end. Here's what it says. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings that are given by one shepherd. My son, be aware of anything beyond this. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is weariness of flesh. You can use that one for like your parents, like when you're studying. Mom. Bible says don't study too much. I'm playing Xbox. Gotta go. Just being biblical. Here it is. There's your verse. Thanks, guys. All right. 13 says this. The end of the matter. So he's at the end. Here it is. Bottom line. All has been heard. What does he say? Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Father God, we pray right now that the end of this study, that we would understand the one thing that we were created to do, and that is to fear you and obey your commandments. We pray this in the good name of Jesus. Amen. You guys may be seated. So here we see Solomon. He's saying, all right, guys, long sermon, I know. We've been going through a lot of stuff. I've told you a lot of information. Some of you were nodding off. I saw you. Some of you have been paying attention. I lost a couple of you in a few of the sayings, I know. But here's the deal, okay? Everything has been said. It's all been out there. So I'm going to make a final conclusion. So when a preacher does this, when he's like, all right, sermon's over, I'm going to kind of recap. That's when you're like, yes. Because I've been lost. Okay, what did he mean during all that? Okay, this is like if you've been new or you just haven't been getting Ecclesiastes, this is that point where it's like, okay, I'm going to get it. We've been saying this thing for weeks now. I'm going to get the sum point. This is good. I'm going to write it down and remember it. This is good. We're going to get the good stuff, okay? So first of all, he says, all has been heard. It's all been said. The sermon is at a close now. Now, what I want to think about is what has been said. What have we been hearing? What have we been taught from Solomon? And here is kind of the bullet point version of what Solomon has been saying. Okay? He has basically been looking at life from a perspective that is under the sun. He's repeated that phrase over and over and over. I looked and saw what the children of man have done under the sun. Under the sun. It's repeated under the sun. And what we've concluded that he's saying when he says that is, he's looking at life apart from God. He's saying, okay, if we take God out of the equation and let's just look at life from a naturalistic worldview, let's just dismiss God altogether and let's just look at life apart from him and let's seek out and find how we can fulfill ourselves. So he's went on this project to fulfill himself. And we've saw him go down all of these various roads. We saw him go down the road of, man, I'm just going to make all the money I can possibly make. Because if I make enough money, I will be happy. And most of you assume if you could have enough money, if you could have all the money you wanted, you would be happy. Because you could buy all the stuff you wanted, and then your heart would be satisfied. That's kind of our perception. And what's amazing, I was doing some research on the internet today. I was looking up lottery winners. Have you ever went on the internet and looked at lottery winners and how their life goes after they win the lottery? I mean, the thought is, okay, I'm poor, I don't have money, I'm broke. Man, but if I just win the lottery, if I get like $130 million, I'll be happy. So you have, man, all kinds of people that go and religiously play the lottery. They always play the lottery because they're trying to win it big, because winning it big would mean happiness instantly. And what's amazing is you see all of these lottery winners, after they win it big, guess what? Their lives become miserable. Because they get all this money, which is said, that's going to make me happy, but inevitably, they lose most of that money. They spend it on things they shouldn't spend it on. They don't make wise investments. All of a sudden, like Uncle Fred, who you didn't even know you had, calling like, hey, can I borrow a couple thousand? And then like, you know, your long lost cousin Joe, people are calling you up. Like there's all these come by your door like, hey, do you remember me? I went to high school with you. Remember? Could you give me like a million? And they end up, their life becomes very complicated because of all the money. Instead of being happy, most of them end up being very miserable. Why? Because they got what they really wanted. All the money they could ever want. And usually they end up broke and miserable at the end of it. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, yeah. But if it was me, if you gave me $100 million, I mean, Gracie, he's smiling. He's like, yes, you give that to me, it's going to be on. Like, I'm going to have the greatest life ever. That's what we think. Man, if we just have all the money in the world, we're going to be happy. And you know what the problem is? It's just money for the sake of money is never going to really fulfill you. So he went down this road, and when he got all the money he could possibly imagine, at the end of it, he said, man, all this money and all this stuff, it's just vanity. Like it's not worth what I thought it would be worth. It's actually emptiness rather than fulfillment. So he chased relationships. Man, he had like 700 wives. Like, he's just piling. It's like, man, if I just have all the wives I could possibly want, man, this is great. If I just live in this life, this is going to be awesome. And then he says, man, this is vanity. Man, even that, it's emptiness. So he pursues wisdom. If I can just be smart, if I can be valedictorian, if I can know everything, then I'll be happy. And at the end of wisdom, he says, man, even wisdom just causes you to stress out more because you know how broken the world is. And even wisdom ends up being vanity, ends up being empty. He chases all these different roads. Even being a youthful kid, he says, man, youth, that's where life is. Because you're young and invincible, and your body can do all kinds of things that when you get older, it will hurt to do. But the problem is, it's vanity because all of you guys got bad news. You're going to get old. You can't stop it. You too will get old. So even youthfulness, he says, man, it's empty because even it vanishes. So what he has been doing, what Solomon is doing, is really chasing down what our culture would see as everything that could possibly make you happy. Have friends, have parties, have money, have success, have the right job, have multiple houses. I mean, this is just, if you get it all, you'll be happy. And down every single road, you know what Solomon concluded? Instead of being satisfied, you know what my heart was? It was empty. At the end of every road, it was empty. So here's Solomon as an old man. He's gathering all the people together, mainly the youth together. And he's saying, look, I'm an old guy and I tried everything that you're going to try. And let me just give you news. It doesn't work. And who's Solomon? He's the king. He's got all the money. He's the wisest man. So he is the one person that could actually take on this project. He could take on this experiment and live it to the fullest. And what he says at the end is, look, all of life under the sun, it's all vanity. It's all empty. It's not worth living. So what's the conclusion? What's he been contrasting that with? What's his purpose? Is his whole point to tell us, hey guys, life's just not good. So just try to live a few days, die, you're going to be miserable. All right, see you later. Go eat dinner, I'm going to go home. That's not his point. It's not so that you would get depressed over life. His point is, look, under the sun, there's no fulfillment. That's why, instead of living life apart from God, you must live life what? Connected to God. See, what he's going to say is, look, life apart from God, it's empty. But life connected to God, it is full and it is vibrant. So if you will live your life in a relationship with God, then all those roads that we talked about, many of them, as you travel down them, if God is your God, then you can use those things how they're supposed to be used. Relationships, money, wisdom, youth, all those things can be used for the glory of God. And in that, there is fulfillment. In that, you won't be empty, but you will be satisfied. So we kind of, in the artwork, kind of put a few things that, of course, Solomon didn't talk about, like sports. Sports is a good example. Sports can be God, and you can pursue them like God, and some of you do. You make all of your sacrifices for this sport because, man, it's really your true God, and the problem is it's not going to satisfy you like God can. But if you put God first, then you will enjoy the sport for His glory, and you can find fulfillment in it. Because whether you win the game or blow out your knee, the game was not your God. And you can get up the next day and still have meaning in life. Because God is your God, not a sport or pleasure or beauty or friends or money or social media or whatever your thing that you're consumed with. Are you seeking satisfaction in that alone? Or are you seeking satisfaction in the one true God? And then using all of his gifts in a relationship with him for his glory. So what Solomon wants you to see is, instead of living your life under the sun, live your life above the sun. Live your life connected to God. And that's his whole point. As he sums up the whole passage, he says, look, here's the whole thing. He says the whole duty of man is this. When he says the whole duty of man, it means as a person on earth, here's your whole existence. Here's what you are to be doing. Now, you think about that phrase, your whole existence or the whole duty of man. It's really asking the question, what is the meaning of life? What's the purpose of life? Why are you here? And it's amazing. If you look up that question, you get all kinds of crazy answers. I looked that up today. Why are we here? Why do we exist? And you get a whole bunch of different answers. Some will just say, there's no purpose, we're just here. Some of them will say, well, there's no real purpose, so we just make our purpose, and whatever you want your purpose to be, then that's your purpose. Others say, well, we're not sure. Just be happy. Just live life. Just love someone. Just do something good. That's what we're here for. But there's no real consensus of what exactly are we doing here? So if I were to ask you a question, here's the question. Why do you exist? Why are you here? Why are you breathing on planet Earth? Could you, if I called upon you, answer that question back to me? And why do I exist? Why am I here? Why am I breathing? Why am I alive and in existence rather than in non-existent? Why am I here? What's the purpose? What am I supposed to be doing? That's a huge question, right? And so you might be trying to figure that out. Like, I don't know. I'm trying hard to find that out. I don't know. Well, you know what's cool? Solomon gives us the answer. Hey, guys, here it is. Here's what your whole life is about. It's about fearing God and keeping His commandments. That's the reason why you exist. That's the reason why you're here. God created you, and you have an amazing purpose, and that is to fear Him and obey His commandments. And what we kind of summarize that is, it's glorifying God. Now, we talked about fear at the beginning. What do you fear? Your fear often connects your God. Now, what do we say when we say fear God? Because what some of you heard when I said fear God is if God showed up in this place, like, ah, and you'd run. I did that just to wake a few of you up, just for a fact. It worked. Like, huh, poor man. Huh. See, I'm your biggest fear now. Wake up, okay? So if God were to show up, it's like that's what you think about when you think about fear in God. It's if He spoke to me, I would run away and be terrified of Him. Like you're scared, you're afraid of Him. But that's not really what captures when you think about fearing God. I mean, in one sense, there is part of that. Because we are in relationship with a holy God who is just and He is sovereign and He's way stronger than any of you. He's way more powerful than any of you. He is completely separate. He's completely other. You are creation. Everything you've ever seen in your entire life has been creation. Everything you know is in the realm of creation. God is creator. Whole different arena. So when we're in His presence, there's this sense of, oh, but it's not, I'm afraid and I'm running away. It's a, oh, wow, I'm in complete awe and reverence of who God is. So that's what it means to fear Him. It's you're in a awe and reverence of God. Like when you think about God, when you contemplate who God is, it's this, you get swept up in the moment. You like have this moment where it's like, oh, you feel that right here. It's this, it's God. That's who God is. He's my Father and He loves me. And there's this sense of, man, because of who He is, I am going to live my life for Him. You see, a proper fear of God doesn't lead you away from God. It leads you to God. It's a huge difference. Unbelievers would probably be afraid and run away. If you're a believer, your fear of God is you're so consumed with how great He is that you want to run to Him and you want to obey Him because you love Him. And that's really, if we summarize it, that's how we glorify God. You see, here's what Solomon would say. Your whole duty is to live your life in relationship with God. Living in relationship with God. And as you do that, you follow Him and you pursue Him. There's this really cool verse in Isaiah 43, I think we're going to put it on the screen. Here's what Isaiah 43, 21 says. It says, this is God talking. He says, the people whom I formed for myself that they might declare my praise. God's talking about His people Israel whom He chose. Here's what He's saying about these people. First of all, He created them. So here's what I want to communicate to you. God created you. He formed you. He made you for who? For Him. Here's the coolest thing you're going to hear tonight. God created you for a relationship with Himself. That's amazing. That's one of those like aha moments. Like, really? God didn't just create me and just leave me alone. He doesn't know me. He knows every single hair on your head. He knows the number of them. That's how meticulously He knows you. He knows every thought you have. He knows every event you've ever lived through. He knows everything about you, and he made you to have a relationship with him. There is nobody that knows you like that. There is nobody who loves you like that. God made you for relationship with himself. And the second part of the verse, we'll put it up again. It says, God made us for himself that what? We might declare his glory. We might sing his praise. You see, he created us for a relationship with himself that we might worship him. So here's a question. Okay, why was I created? Why did God make me? Why was I planned to exist rather than not exist? Why did I come into this world? Because God planned that. He ordained that. You're not here by an accident. It was for two reasons. To have a relationship with him and to worship him. And that's really what it means to fear him and obey his commandments. It means to have a relationship with him as your God. And in a relationship, man, you worship him. That's why Paul would say, here's the deal. You want just a kind of a summary statement how this lives out in everyday life? He says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, play basketball, cheer, play checkers, whatever it is, do all for the glory of God. That's why you're here, to glorify God, to be in relationship with him and to worship him. That's why he put you on this planet, was to live above the sun, connected to God, so that all of life can be lived with real purpose as you worship God and obey his commandments. That's why you were here. So there's two ways that you can live your life. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to close with this. We're going to sing some songs and we're going to respond. There's two ways to live your life. The first is under the sun, apart from God, trying to fulfill all of your desires through the gifts that God has spread out. That's the first way you can live your life. You can live your life for yourself, apart from God, living it up. We saw that last week. Man, just follow your heart. Just do whatever you want. Just live it up. But there's judgment. So you can live apart from God. You'll never find satisfaction. You'll never truly have that deep joy like those who are connected with God. And in the end, there'll be judgment. Even in our passage, man, he's going to judge the secret things. The things that nobody knows, God's going to judge those things. The things that you thought nobody has found out, nobody is going to find out. You burned the evidence, you hid it, it was just in your room, nobody saw it, God was there and God saw it. And he's going to hold that against you on judgment day if you live under the sun apart from him. But you know what's amazing? He invites us to live a life not under the sun but above the sun. He invites us to live our lives in relationship with him. And that's why at the very first of this chapter, in verse 1 of 12, he says, remember also your creator in the days of your youth. Remember me. Remember your creator. The difference is one is living in your heart. The other one is living as though you were created because you were. And in relationship with God, you're loving him and you're following his commands. You're living in a relationship with him. And this was only made possible through Jesus Christ. See, you can't earn a relationship with God. It came to you from Jesus Christ. See, he lived the perfect life you couldn't. He lived in perfect relationship with God. He always feared God, and he always obeyed his commandments, even though you always disobeyed God. He always obeyed. And what he did on the cross is he switched places with you. You who've always disobeyed, Jesus who has always obeyed, he switched with you. He became sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. On the cross, God judged Jesus as a sinner in your place. And when we have faith and trust in him, we get judged in Christ, innocent and holy before God. See, a relationship with God is lived through Jesus Christ. It's through believing and looking at Christ. And through him, we get a relationship with him. And in a relationship, we fear him, we love him, we obey him. And the cool thing is that instead of having an empty life, we're satisfied, we're fulfilled. So I want to ask Jordan to come back up. What I want us to do is I just want us to think about our life. We've been hitting this series over and over and over again. Hey, all the sin in the world, it's not going to satisfy you. Only God is going to satisfy you. Only a relationship with your Creator is going to satisfy you. And you've been sitting here week in and week out, and you leave here and you still try to find fulfillment in all your sin rather than in your Creator God. And it's just going over, and every time you're getting more hard and more hard, and you're closing your ears more and you're not hearing. And what I want to ask is tonight, which one are you living? Are you living under the sun, totally apart from God? Or are you living above the sun, connected with your Creator, fearing Him and obeying Him because you love Him, because Jesus has rescued you from your sins? What we're going to do is we're going to sing two songs. And if you want to just get up and sing with all your might because you're connected to God, that's amazing. Do that. If you know you don't have a relationship with God and you want to talk with someone, some of our leaders are just going to stand at the back. You go and find them and you talk with them. If you want to come to this altar because you haven't been pursuing God for all your satisfaction, you've been dabbling in all these other things, and you just want to come and just confess that and seek forgiveness from that, you can come up to this altar. So you either sing in response, repent in response, or come to Jesus in response. Sound good? All right, I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to do those three things. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the word that you've given us. I thank you for this series called Empty, and I pray that none of us would leave here empty, but we would leave here full, because we would leave here with a relationship with you, because we love you with all of our hearts. I pray right now that you would cause some of us to stand and scream the beauty of your name. I pray you would cause some of us who need to come and repent of sin and to seek cleansing from that. I pray that you would let believers repent. God, I pray that you would let unbelievers, God, repent for the first time and come to you, come to Christ for a brand new relationship with you. God, we pray that you help us respond to your word. We pray this in Jesus' good name. Amen.